Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam Gilchrist on Good Morning Cape Town. We now broadcast and we see each other via the benefits of technology. We now put it online. If you want to see Adam Gilchrist, he's a handsome man. He doesn't just have a lovely voice. Yes. He's a very good looking man. And you can now watch this on our social media pages. Just go to Facebook, search Cape Talk, and you can see these conversations posted on there late in the day. But good morning, Adam. Let's start with the distressing news of what is the reality of the world. A mosque attack in Pakistan, dozens of people dead, scores of people injured.
Yes, the death toll has gone up overnight as well. And yeah, it's awful, this, isn't it? Imagine this on your doorstep. And Pakistan is one of those countries that it feels like it ought to be sort of more ours. It shouldn't be a kind of dark pariah state. And yet here we are with 87 people dead, and that death toll could go up again as a result of a suicide bombing in a mosque targeting policemen. It was a mosque within a high security police headquarters, and of course should have been secure. There should have been all the checks and measures. The idea that somebody can get in there wearing a suicide vest or a bag with explosives of any kind, we don't know the detail of that yet, is extraordinary to think that that can happen. And yet, thinking back to this famous green zone, both in Baghdad and then in Kabul, it happened quite a lot, didn't it? So this mosque, prayers were underway, people were packed in. We're talking 87 dead, but also well over 100 injured. And the Pakistan Prime Minister has condemned it. At first, actually, it was thought the Taliban or an offshoot of the Taliban might be responsible. But now they have denied involvement. So who done it would be the key question.
And then let's move to NATO diplomacy. There's a tit-for-tat spat between Turkey and Sweden. Turkey, of course, a NATO member. Sweden applying. The rules of NATO is that if one member vetoes or disagrees, then there's all sort of negotiating process. The tit-for-tat has been as quaint as boycotts on Turkish yogurt to even some serious issues even revolving religion and desecration of holy books. This is becoming a little bit ugly between Sweden and Turkey.
Yeah, and they're a long way apart. You look at the map and go, hang on a moment, what's going on there? But I suppose that does happen. Think about Iran and the United States and the burning of each other's flags and things like that. I think the thing that triggered this in particular was indeed the burning of a Turkish flag in Stockholm and Turkey's assertion that there are Kurdish militants, extremists who are in Sweden, that Sweden is in some way harboring them and refusing to extradite people allegedly linked to Kurdish militants and people who Turkey regards as terrorists, who much of the rest of the world does not regard as terrorists. So there's a problem there. But yes, this absolutely does then play out in Sweden's application to join NATO. Sweden and Finland, soon after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, felt, hang on a moment, we need to do something about this and we need to find some mates. So let's join NATO. And there's a one for all for one spirit. So absolutely right. Any individual NATO member can veto another's application. So the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has suggested that he may agree to Finland climbing on board, but not Sweden, because of all those links and those problems. In his words, if you absolutely want to join NATO, you will return these terrorists to us. The Swedish government has condemned the protesters. They've condemned the burning of the flag. They've defended their free speech laws. And there it is, isn't it? Right there. The democratic right to say something that someone else doesn't like. And sometimes it's a really uncomfortable conversation. And sometimes you really have to stick your neck out to defend it. But you know what? If there's somebody standing on the street corner in Hyde Park at so-called Speaker's Corner in London, spouting off something that I really don't like, unless they are inciting hatred or violence in some way, then fine, they can do it. And don't we want a country where you can do that, surely? I mean, free speech radio, after all.
After all. And then let's go to Australia now. A missing radioactive capsule. It's like a needle in a haystack hunt in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. Health officials in Western Australia have issued this warning. It's a capsule. I mean, a tiny one. We're talking 8 millimetres. tiny. It contains cesium-137. So the moment we get into that kind of language, you go, hang on a moment. This is stuff used in mining, apparently. And crucially, if touched, it wouldn't take very much. It could cause acute radiation sickness. I mean, it's toxic. It's unpleasant. Just touching the thing could make you seriously ill. So it's gone missing. Somebody was carrying it from point A to point B in Western Oz. And it's been lost along a 1,400-kilometer stretch of highway. They haven't narrowed it down beyond that. So a lonely, long highway. But that's not the point. In the words of the mining firm Rio Tinto, we recognize this is clearly very concerning. And we're sorry for the alarm it has caused. I mean, does that cut it? You know, it's a bit like my wife's car keys. They're not meant to be lost, and they create panic when they are. And I think the cesium-137 is right up there with my wife's car keys.
Shame. But there's a real concern. There was an incident in Russia in the early 1980s where six people who in an apartment block, the thing that they had in common, they all lived in the same room, the same positioning of a bed against a wall, and six people died due to cancer-related implications. They then later found that this was in a an apartment building in what is now Ukraine, but it was part of the USSR. The story was that at a building site, a bull had lost his spirit level, and in that spirit level was a small the valve inside the spirit level that contained that cesium-137. The builder lost the spirit level in the construction site. As the rubble got mixed up, the spirit level got destroyed, and that cesium, little micro dosage of cesium.
It's a tiny blob, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, then spilt out and got mixed in the rubble. That rubble was then turned into the bricks that made that apartment block. And in that wall where the people would lay at night, all the same location in the bedroom, six people developed cancer-related illnesses. Wow. So even that small little blob of cesium in 1980, I think 1980 to 1986, caused this concern of cesium in this apartment block, all because a builder lost the spirit level. So similar story, and hope it doesn't lead to that in Australia.
And if you remember the Alexander Litvinenko story, poisoned as he went for tea with a Russian agent in London, and they slipped something into his tea, it would have taken nothing at all from the sound of it. Yeah, absolutely. And not even a speck to have made him as ill as he got.
Well, Adam Gilchrist, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. We'll broadcast this and we'll post this on our social media pages. Adam Gilchrist, Leicester Give It, live in person in the flesh. You can see what this handsome man looks like. Adam, stay well. Looking forward to chatting to you tomorrow on Good Morning Cape Town.